Hey everybody, welcome back to another episode of the Nintendo Wirecast. I'm one of your hosts, Hero TJ, and I'm here with a brand new daddy-to-be, Amiibo Jason.
How's it
going? Congratulations, buddy.
Oh, thank you. Man,
it's going great, but my news is not near as exciting as yours.
Yeah, I mean, I've known about it now for some time. It's the first time we've shared the news publicly, but my wife, Heavenly Candied Lauren, is pregnant. She's about 11 or 12 weeks now. I think it's close to 12. We don't know what it is yet. We know it's a baby. We know that it's healthy. And we should know if it's a boy or a girl, I'd say, in 8 weeks. So
that's
it's coming up.
So amazing. You can't go wrong because you already have a daughter. And yes. Being able to give her a sister is the best gift you could ever give her. And
yeah.
If you have a son, you complete the collection. So
very true.
You can't
and it's
go
not
wrong.
Both. We know it's not twins. So thank God for that.
Yeah.
But yeah, my daughter's very excited. I think overall it's just going to be an exciting time. It's going to be stressful. It's weird at this point having a baby in this time that
you
we're
sure
in
is.
Right now. Yeah. I'm going to give you a brief story, and this is not video game related, but this is just life in general. We walked into the hospital to get our first ultrasound, and it was like a military zone in a movie. It's
yeah.
like if you've seen 28 Weeks Later and they're going through that zombie checkpoint, that's what it was. Doctors and nurses on both sides, and I'm sure they weren't doctors and nurses, but people on both sides in full garbs and gears and masks and gloves and suits, scanning my temperature as I'm going in, asking me questions. It was a very odd experience. In the room, when we got the ultrasound, everything was fine. So there was really no issue there. But it's kind of just sad to a certain degree. This is Lauren's first. There's going to be restrictions on what you can and can't do, assuming that this kind of thing is still happening in October when she's due. But it's going to be restricted with who can come in the room. It's going to be me and her, and that's it. No visitors. So everything is very much on lockdown. So what should be a very, very joyous time, which it is joyous. To a certain degree, there's a lot of uncertainty, but we're still very, very excited.
Yeah, well, you're definitely going to be front and center in my thoughts and prayers.
Well,
and
I appreciate that.
I've gone through this three times myself, and I know, like just like you said, there's no greater joy and there's no greater anxiety as a parent than to bring life into this world. So I'm super pumped for you. And if there's if there's anybody in this world who is ready to be able to, or I would say ready and able to raise the next generation of gamer, it's Amiibo Jason.
I'll do my best. Even though, I mean, my time is spent, I mean, I'm gaming more and more, at least now that I'm on lockdown. I'm working from home, so my commute time is completely dead. And I'm always here. I mean, I go outside, I go on walks, things like that. But I am playing a lot of classic video games right now. I'm on this big Final Fantasy kick at the moment.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. So I played the very first Final Fantasy for the first time. I never played the original. So I played that and I beat it.
Like NES?
NES, yeah.
How did you do it? Now, because to me, that's almost rendered unplayable by all the quality of life improvements that there have been over the years.
It's different, but it's not like crazy different. I mean, my very first RPG ever was Dragon Quest III. Let's see. Yeah, Dragon Quest III on Game Boy Color. Which was the remake of Dragon Quest III on the NES. And it left a lot to the imagination. It was not the prettiest game of all time, so I'm used to that kind of look. This is by far the worst looking RPG I've ever played. I mean, back in the day, it was revolutionary. It was amazing.
Sure.
But it definitely was a bit different. I enjoyed it, though. The story was decent. I mean, I'm surprised what Square could do to push the NES to that point. And it's very easy to see just how Square was able to take what was supposed to be their last game, their Final Fantasy, and turn it into this 35 plus year phenomenon, to the fact where Final Fantasy VII Remake is coming out in like 2 days. I'm excited for that. So
of course you are.
Yeah.
Now, if you had to estimate, how many hours would you say it took you to beat that game?
I know exactly. It was 11 or 12 for this one.
That's quite an extensive playtime for a game that was on the NES.
Yeah, I mean, a lot of it's grinding. So, I mean, if you're familiar with, like, old-fashioned RPGs, lot of grinding.
I know that.
Dragon Quest XI was one of the only games I've played recently, RPG-wise, that grinding wasn't really a necessity. You didn't really have to grind in that game to get to where you needed to go. The game was kind of set up in a way where the battles were spaced out to a point where you felt like if you're going from point A to point B, you're ready to be at that point. Like, you don't have to go out and just, like, spend 3 hours grinding for levels, so.
That's always one of the things about the classic RPGs that I struggled with, because I felt like my time was being spent so fruitlessly. And I know the first one that I ever played was also on NES, and it was called Dragon Warrior.
Yeah, which is Dragon Quest.
And man, did that game frustrate me. I could not even get... I think I gave it the old elementary try on maybe 50 separate occasions, and each play session was always less than 20 minutes. Because I would just, like, oh man, this game is dense to me as a kid.
Yeah.
And at some point, I just had to reconcile myself that game wasn't for me. I wanted to like it. I wanted to be able to
play it. It's a very Japanese game. So the fact that they had to change the name from Dragon Quest to Dragon Warrior in the U.S. kind of speaks volumes to... They wanted this to be some, like, cool thing where you're killing dragons. Mm-hmm. And it's not quite that. It's this long, drawn-out quest. and that's what it was.
There's certainly a mixed bag when it comes to cover art in the NES days.
Yeah.
But, man, that Dragon Warrior cover is one of the best. It's so just dynamic and interesting.
I think I have it. Give me one second.
That's cool. It's like this green serpentine dragon that's kind of slightly in the foreground of the Dragon Warrior text at the top. Oh, yep, Jason's displaying it right now. This dramatic caped warrior that you're looking at from the back. It's just got all kinds of interesting and exciting dynamic imagery.
And that's not the game.
That's not the game. It really
points in the game that maybe yes, but you're fighting like little blue balls of slime that look like this. More than anything else.
Yeah. So, you know, for whatever reason, it just never really grabbed me in the same way that, say, Final Fantasy II did.
Yeah.
The numerology when it comes to these Final Fantasy games is a little bit convoluted.
Well, two is four, technically. I'm playing through four right now, so I don't spoil it. I'm halfway through four at the moment.
I will say that the gameplay did not... I was not riveted by that, but the story did compel me. I was so excited to see what came next that it pushed me through. I did have to grind, and I resented the game for forcing me to do that in a lot of ways. But because I was so invested in resolving the stories of these characters and seeing where things go, and it was emotional on a lot of levels. It pulled at my heartstrings.
Yeah.
It got my heart pumping. So in that way, I feel like the game really succeeded.
Yeah.
I wish that there was some way how I could have that story with kind of the play style of a Zelda game, where you have this real-time action where I can kind of feel like I'm a little bit more in control of how the game is progressing from an action-oriented perspective. And I've just never really been one of those text-driven, turn-based kind of guys. And I guess it's different strokes for different folks. But I definitely think that that's a game that I wish that I had what it took to beat. I think the problem that I ran into, I may be confusing this because I was quite young at the time. I think I saved it at a point where I couldn't level up anymore, and I couldn't beat the boss. So I was kind of trapped myself in this little game loop where I did not have what it takes to get past. It was I know I was deep game, so this is like a not the final boss, but like a sub boss. And I kind of got myself in this little place where I couldn't backtrack to do the kind of grinding required to beat him.
Yeah.
And maybe there was some way to grind where I was, but it was either off-putting enough where I didn't continue, or there's just whatever the reason, it was enough to get me to stop. Yeah. And I do still have a little bit of that feeling like, whatever did happen to all those guys?
I'll tell you soon because I'm very close.
Oh, cool. Very
I'm to a point where I understand the grinding mechanic so much so that I grind for like 2 hours at a time, even though I don't need to. So I get super overpowered in early game. I get to a point where I'm like, I'm just going to grind it out right now so I can just relax a bit further down the line. And that's kind of what I'm doing right now. Like I'm one hitting a lot of bosses. It's super, super easy. But yeah, it's a very cool game. I mean, it's very Star Wars-y from a story perspective.
Yeah. They just keep, it has like this episodic component to it where you think like you're just about to be finished or just about to get a little bit of resolution. And then they give you a little twist or they rope you in with a new storyline and things transition quite nicely to where you feel like you have a certain amount of control in where you're taking your character and what you're doing.
Sure.
But it's all serving the story.
Yeah.
And that's, I think, impressive to be able to do. It's one thing to be able to write a good book. It's another thing to be able to make a good movie or a television show. But for a video game, it's not just telling a great story. You need to also, in some ways, allow the player to reveal the story that you're trying to tell.
Yeah.
And that is, to me, the highest form of entertainment, where there's an interaction, there's a partnership between the developers, the writers, and then the player to participate and conspire to tell this satisfying experience. And there's no greater enjoyment than to be in the driver's seat of telling that story that someone else is telling you.
It's good really stuff. Fun. You should give it like one more shot. If you have the time, they remade the game on DS in 3D. So they no 2D sprites, nothing like that. I'm playing the 2D version. But yeah, it's Final Fantasy IV. It's in 3D. They added voice acting.
Really?
Yeah.
And it's on 3DS?
DS.
DS?
Yeah, could I play original, it on... you can. It'll work on 3DS, yes.
Oh, you know what? Maybe I will do that. All right, I think that's worth looking into at least.
Yeah, for sure.
At the very least, maybe I'll see if I can find a playthrough online.
Yeah.
Or maybe I can skip through some of the grinding.
There you go. Easy enough. So that's what I'm playing. So Final Fantasy, Ring Fit. I'm back on Ring Fit.
Yes. Have you managed to beat my epic score in The Legend of Zelda?
No, I have not.
Really?
No, I'm kind of done with the rhythm game mode for the time being. I'm back on the standard mode. I feel like I get more of a robust workout that way. Uh-huh. So I'm back doing that. I mean, I'm stuck inside. I'm trying really hard to keep up with this and do it again. I do realize, though, that even I took a month off of Ring Fit. My back was killing me today after playing Ring Fit.
Mm.
So I think I just took it a bit too hard. I thought I was prepared. I guess I just wasn't.
So even just it's funny how that sneaks up on you, right? Because you had gotten yourself in elite Ring Fit shape. You did it for at least 90 days, right?
Yeah, it was 90. I think it was over 100 days when all was said and done.
So like you could jog in place with the best of them, but then 30 days slip by and suddenly those game monsters.
My sweet gains.
Your sweet, sweet gains. Those hoplins and whatever else they throw at you with all their clever little workout puns.
Yeah.
They become more difficult after that time off. So I'm glad you're back, and I'm actually really glad that you and a lot of the other gamers out there have this fun, interactive way to try to keep fit in a climate that's a little bit harder to get out and do that.
For sure.
So I have not been playing.
Are you playing anything?
I am almost obsessively, like I think a lot of the gaming community right now, playing Animal Crossing.
Yeah.
Even before we logged on, my son invented this new ritual now where I'll drop my daughter off to school, and when we get back home, he's like, all right, Daddy, it's time to get those wasps. So the deal, here's the arrangement. I have to walk up and down my entire island, shake every tree, and then the wasps come out, and most of the time, because he's pretty good at it now,
yep.
my character will have the exclamation point appear, oh no, there's wasps coming. And he starts giggling just uncontrollably, runs over and smashes him with his net and gets the wasp before there's even any incident.
Yep.
When he's in a position where he's not able to do that, I run in a circle, holding down the run button, of course, which keeps you about the same speed as the wasps.
Yep.
So as long as you don't run into any object, you can kind of maintain that for an unlimited period of time. And I just keep circling around him, and he holds the net up and drops it on the wasps. And today, we went 4 for 4.
Nice.
So it's funny to me how Animal Crossing is a game where you invent the game. And it's always super fun to have like this playground experience where they don't tell you anything to do. I suppose if you take the Nook Miles into consideration, this one nudges you maybe a little bit more than previous iterations of Animal Crossing. But really, you don't have to do anything. You go in there, if you want to catch some fish, catch some fish. If you want to catch some bugs, catch some bugs. If you want to plant some flowers, plant some flowers. You want to design some clothes, design some clothes. Or ignore any of those things and run around and allow your characters to be pestered by bees.
Yeah.
He's even invented this little storyline, which he started throwing on me today, where he's like, Dark TJ sent these bees. For those of you guys who don't know, a lot of the shows that I have that appear on Nintendo Wire, that's oftentimes a rival to my Hero TJ me persona, and that's Dark TJ. And it's kind of this common video game trope where characters have to fight the shadow of themselves. And he has his own profile on my Nintendo Switch. And I have intended to create Dark TJ Mountain on one little portion of the island. And sure. So my kids are aware of that, even though it hasn't happened yet.
Yeah.
So anything bad that happens on the island, my kids assign to Dark TJ. They're like, Dark TJ sent those wasps to get us. So every time he gets one, he's like, you'll never get us, Dark TJ.
I like that. That's good.
It tickles me. It really cracks me up.
Have you gone the party popper route yet with the wasps?
I noticed online that you could do it, but I've not experimented with it. So what does that actually do?
It just scares them away.
So if you have a party...
It's kind of just another fun mechanic. So if you have a party popper, you can pop it at them. You're good to go.
You know, I did try out your fruit pooper thing.
Very nice, right?
At first, I thought you made it up because I had a bidet.
Yeah.
Which, for those of you guys who are not familiar, a bidet is essentially a toilet, but it also has like a sprayer mechanic. So instead of using toilet paper, you get a faucet on your backside.
Yeah.
And in the game, the bidet looks just like a toilet. So I was gifted one of those early on in the game. And I'm like, why did somebody give me this?
Yeah.
An AI, not a human. And I tried to get rid of my fruit and nothing. Like, they had no function whatsoever. And then later in the game, I did get an actual toilet.
Yeah.
And that one did allow me it to... that takes care of that.
It's a nice mechanic.
So surprising.
I am relocating a lot of my trees in the game at the moment. So you need to be powered up if you want to dig a tree completely out.
Right.
Sometimes I get to a point where I'm too powered up and then I break my rocks, and I do not like breaking my rocks. Like, I want my rocks to be exactly where they are. So the toilet's a nice mechanic for sure.
I did like to play a game, as I think I mentioned previously in the podcast, where we'd treasure hunt for our rocks.
Yeah.
And so I would break them daily, but then they respawned almost all in a row.
Oh, nice.
And it's so nice that I have to walk like 5 game feet to get from rock to rock. So I went with the Abdallah method and I put down some permanent structures to be able to allow me to hit those rocks. And I think that's the way to go. Save you a little bit of time.
Have you unlocked the terraforming yet?
I have not. I'm at 2 stars on my town.
Got it.
And I really don't know what Isabel wants from me.
Just plant flowers. That's all you got to do. Everywhere.
My kids, I don't know how many more flowers there can be. I mean, the game must be super obsessed with it, because my son's yard and my daughter's yard is so overrun with flowers that I dare not pop a balloon anywhere on half of my map.
But because I was stuck on 2 stars for like 4 or 5 days. And I bought, I think, 100 flowers. And I just made a grove, and the next day, that was it.
Okay, cool. They kept also telling me that I had too much junk in my town. But I have picked up everything that's on the ground. Although I made a, and I can't take credit for this because I did see somebody else do this online. I just thought it was a genius idea where I made a workshop.
Yeah.
And the workshop is essentially this fenced off area where there are benches and one of the DIY stations, and all of the benches have all of the supplies. So I don't have to hold it all in my inventory at all times. So I have like all the different varieties of wood and clay and other essentials that you need to make some of the stuff. They are sitting on the benches, but I wonder if in any way that's,
yeah, that according might to Isabel, garbage. You.
So I might have to just pick them all up before I do
a
new evaluation.
Well, good luck with that. It's a fun process when you get it. I am making mountains, which is kind of neat. So I'm like layering on top of layering on top of layering. So you can put, I think you can go 4 cliffs high. So you can go on top of the cliff and then do another cliff and then another cliff. And then at a certain point, it says you can't go any higher.
Oh, so you could actually exceed what any of the islands originally have at the beginning. So I could really make Dark TJ Mountain.
You could, and you should. I very much want to see this. Today, I just got the waterworks permit, because you have to buy these things. So there's permits for everything you want to do, and they're expensive permits.
But once you have them, can you do it like however you want?
Yeah, it's unlimited at that point.
Okay.
The only thing that sucks is the paths. So depending on what kind of path you want, you have to buy a permit for every kind of like path that's out there. Or you can just spend your money on the custom paths, which is you can take a pretty much any of your custom designs and turn it into a path mechanic.
If you do that, then do you not pick them up if you're using Y? Because that's what's kept me from making paths in my town, because I know my kids would just pick them all up.
Yeah, you're fine at that point. And it's much easier. You don't have to go into the menu every time and select put on ground. So it's a much easier process.
I've been kind of holding off on restructuring my town because things are a little bit willy-nilly. I have villagers a little bit scattered, and I wouldn't say that my initial layout was particularly well-suited to what my final design I want to be. And because I knew in advance that I would have the ability because of the Nintendo Direct to kind of reformat everything at a later time, but they didn't detail exactly how that was, and I didn't realize it was so prohibitively costly to move stuff.
Yeah.
Once you can terraform, do you still have to pay to move every house every single time and all that stuff? Oh, my goodness. Do. All right. See, this is going to take me a little while then. Now that I don't have my Switch rotating magic trick anymore.
Yeah, it's not a cheap process. So the stock market is pretty much the only mechanic we have now to save us. Thank God I joined a group where you can get really good deals on selling your stocks. Or not your stocks, your turnips. So today, somebody on my Twitter account messaged me, had me come over to his town. I think they were selling for like 550 bells.
Oh, that's high.
So, yeah, highest I've seen so far. I think it's gone higher. But I think I made like a cool 650,000 bells, something like that.
I might have to get in on that a little bit. I have never in any Animal Crossing game ever got involved in the stock market.
Yeah.
Because as a human being in real life, I respect and appreciate people who have the ability to see the intangible and translate it into financial gain. That's just not the way that my brain works.
Yeah.
And so in real life, I hate that. I really hate playing with numbers. I avoid it like the plague. So in the game, that's certainly an aspect of it that has zero appeal to me. But now in this game, it seems like because you can connect to other people's towns and sell it to other people's towns, it's a little bit less of a gamble.
You could.
Maybe I'll just experiment. I'll dip my toe in because I'll need to come up with some kind.
So buy as many as you can on Sunday and just keep your phone by you. I'll let you know once I find somebody with very, very good like sale prices.
Okay.
And we'll get you rich.
You're like my broker.
Very much
so. You're my brokerage firm in Animal Crossing.
So I typically, when I sell them in somebody else's island, I'll typically leave them a tip. I think I left like 60,000 bells.
That's pretty good etiquette.
Yeah.
Now, one thing we have to talk about is Happily Candy's Island.
Yeah.
Now I saw a series of photos that she put online, and what it has kind of indicated to me is that I do not have the visual imagination to be able to like even determine how something like that would work. Her island is so magnificent and so specific and so deliberately structured that no part of me thinks I even have the capacity to create a town even remotely similar to what she has.
I get to points where if I'm stuck, like right now I'm trying to make like a spa, like this mountaintop spa, and I cannot do it. It just looks like hot garbage every time I try to do it. So I've already told Happily Candy, and I'm like, at a certain point, I'm giving you my system for a day. I'm giving you free reign. Just make it look pretty. She has a perfect eye for design. It's absolutely perfect.
You know, I have noticed about myself only in the last few years or so. I've always had strong creative and artistic inclinations. But in this past year, I realized my skill set and my interest is not... does not lend itself towards creating.
Yeah.
It lends itself towards adapting. So I like theme and variation, where something inspires me, and then I kind of take that germ of an idea and I spin it into my own thing.
Yeah.
And I'm better at that than I am at manifesting something from nothing. But I look at, like, Happily Candy's photos, and it's just so inspired that I'm in awe of her creativity, because it's a little bit different than the way that my brain works.
It's very different to see it. She plays more than anybody I know, though. So keep that in mind. I mean, the amount of playtime this woman has, I'm kind of scared to look. I mean, it's intimidating to a certain degree. But yeah,
Do you have any insight into her process? Like, have you witnessed her doing this at any point?
I zone out, man. I mean, she... She spends so much time on every single part of that game.
It looks like it.
So a lot of it's design. A lot of it comes from custom designs. So she'll find something online that she likes for a path or for like something like in a part of her house, and she plays kind of with that aspect of it. And then she's very, very specific about where everything else goes. So where houses go, where amenities go. Anything that's kind of like sweet and happy, like she wants to put that into her town. It's got to be the color scheme that she wants.
Oh, it's the pinkest town of any Animal Crossing village that there could ever possibly be.
Oh, for sure.
Has she welcomed in Agnes yet?
She has not. Not yet. I'm working up to that. I'd love it for just her to show up in town.
Because you could kind of like surreptitiously I don't know what the word would be. Like just slip that amiibo in there.
I thought
it might be the end of your marriage.
I thought about it. Yeah, I mean, just maybe do it where Agnes shows up in her camp.
Yeah.
And she has no idea that I did it at that point. So
well, that would be a requirement.
Yeah. And she could choose to invite her or choose not to invite her at that point. So, but in my daughter's town still, Agnes is her favorite character.
As well it should be.
Which I love that you just happened to get her in the first batch of animals you got.
So it was just
that was completely random.
Are you pretty satisfied with your collection of villagers?
Oh, you know, for the most part, I brought Drake via Amiibo. I brought
naturally.
Stitches via Amiibo. And everybody else in my town is fine. There's one character who's like a monkey that I hate. I'm not a fan of him at all. But I got a flamingo, which I think is kind of cool. I got a couple birds. I mean, overall, it's a pretty chill island. I got that new cat with the glasses.
Okay.
So he's kind of neat, too.
Mine's okay. Like, I of course, welcomed everybody in that I could because I wanted to get as many villagers as possible early on.
Yeah.
And it's a little bit of a mixed bag. I have to say that initially, I was very turned off by pretty much every single villager that I had. But some of them... As I mentioned last time, Dom, who was my first villager, is this like pinkish ram. He and I are definitely workout buddies.
Yeah.
And I don't know if the game mystically knew me, but he was like gifting me punching bags. And, so he's definitely my bro. He's the guy in town who I look to. I feel the most connection to him. But then I also have one of by far the most off-putting villagers that I've ever seen. And his name is... Pietro, this Italian.
I like that guy.
Oh, man, I can't stand him.
Is that the clown?
Yeah, he's a clown.
Yeah.
He's so off-putting to me. And
so
as soon
right
as I
now,
saw
that's him, the one that's in Happily Candied's town.
She likes him, or
no. It's in a tent. It's the one that the very first one. So here's my question: do you have to invite that villager? Mm-mm. The first one that comes to your campground.
Oh, maybe. I don't know.
Because it's been 2 days and he hasn't left. So I think you have to.
Maybe.
That makes me so happy if that's the case.
Because you usually want as many villagers as you can get early on. And I guess you could just replace anybody at a later time. But I was almost begrudging about it myself. I think he was my first one too.
Yeah.
I just kind of resigned myself that I needed to fill out the spots to be able to progress my nook sequence so that I could get to the next thing. But my kids, when they went to Nook Islands using their Nook Miles, each encountered other villagers. One of them got an octopus.
Yeah.
I don't remember its name. And then the other one got Wart Jr. I actually am pretty happy Wart Jr.'s in there. I think he's pretty cool. My daughter was able to get through it herself, but my son is just like button mashing because he hasn't read yet. And I'm like, no, push this one. We want that guy to come. So now they all live there, which is cool. And I think we have 9 villagers. Do you know what the cap is on how many?
I think it's 9.
Oh, all right.
So it looked like on the capacity at this point.
Okay. When I looked at our map, and maybe it's just the way that my map is displayed because I do have 5 human players.
Yeah.
You see the row of 5 human players, then the next we see the 5 villagers, and then on the other side we have 4 villagers. So it looks like there's one empty spot, and I wasn't sure.
I'm almost positive it's 9. Okay. I'll let you know for sure tomorrow because I'm attempting to bring another character over. I read somewhere though that it was 9, so I'll let you know. But I have to ask you this.
Yeah.
One of the biggest things I've seen on Twitter over the past few, few weeks at this point, was that time traveling in this game is the worst thing you could do. You are literally worse than Hitler if you are time traveling in Animal Crossing. And I have seen so many people jump on this bandwagon, hating on time traveling, hating on the idea that you would mess with Mother Nature's perfect internal clock of this game.
Totally.
And obviously we've talked about this before. We've talked about that you and I have both duped.
Yep,
we have
both
gotten
dupers.
Unfair amounts of money in the game, which I have no, like, I'm not going to apologize for duping in this game.
Neither am I. It was a fun process. I performed magic with my children, and it was a blast, so.
But for some reason, the duping is on a completely separate level. I feel like it's down here, and time travelers are up here in the term of, like, how bad you are.
Yeah.
Because it's kind of bombarding me on my Twitter account at this
Me too.
Point, that time
in fact,
is the worst thing ever.
I got into a very polite discussion with friends last night regarding time travel, where I seem to be amongst a very small community who believes that time travel is in no way cheating. No part of me thinks that it is even remotely cheating. Now, there are other people who even take it to a worse extreme where they think any exploit is cheating. They think going to one of the Nook Islands and manipulating the spawn rate to get more tarantulas is cheating. Now, to me, that is playing the game, my friend. That's what Animal Crossing is trying to catch bugs, and it's not an easy process. So to call cheating something that requires you to work even harder, I just don't really see it that way. And to me, there are a lot of reasons why clock manipulation would allow a person to experience aspects of the game that they might not otherwise be able to do.
Yeah.
For example, now, I'd like to begin this by saying I have not adjusted my time in any way in New Horizons, not because of any moral reason, not because of any objection to it, but because I have not had any reason to adjust the clock. I happen to have a very flexible schedule right now, and so I can play Animal Crossing every day, a little bit every day. But this is the first time in my life when I can say that about an Animal Crossing game. The first game came out when I was in college. I was taking 16 hours of school a week. I did 6 years of school in 4. So I was brutalized by my college schedule. I'm not exaggerating when I say that I slept sometimes 2 hours or less a night for almost 4 years, and it's something that I could not do now in my life. That is something for the young. And Animal Crossing was something that I would try to slip in where I could. And I could, if I wanted to do some special, if I wanted to do a fishing tournament or something, the only way I was going to be able to do that was by setting the clock to the few minutes that I had to play the game.
Yeah.
And I make no apologies about that. I wanted to play certain parts of this game. Maybe I couldn't play the game on Christmas Day because I was nowhere near the game. Or I think Christmas Eve is actually how they celebrate in Animal Crossing, which happens to be my birthday, by the way. So if I want to be able to go enjoy Toy Day, I need to do it on maybe like January 7th because that's the first opportunity that I have to boot up the game. No apologies. So I had a similar experience with every other Animal Crossing. When I lived in Los Angeles, I was a hustling young actor. I knew I was going to live lean. I could not turn down work. I would take every job opportunity that came my way. And that meant I don't play video games when I want to play video games. I play video games when I have time to play video games. And so I certainly sympathize with anybody who participates in a more customized Animal Crossing clock for the purposes of being able to experience parts of the games that you cannot conform your life to the game schedule.
Yeah.
But you certainly should conform the game schedule to your life. And in that way, I don't think it's cheating at all, even remotely.
Yeah.
Or maybe
it's a life sim. I mean, there is no winner or loser in Animal Crossing. There's no competition. There's nothing that would prevent you from or make anybody else's life more difficult by having one other player do something differently. I can't think of any kind of situation with Animal Crossing where time traveling would be detrimental to your or anybody else's experience. I think in some cases, some people get upset because I might have unlocked something in this game before they had the opportunity to do so.
Yes.
And I'm not sure even how to respond to that piece of it. And if that's the case, if that's upsetting for some people, I apologize that that's upsetting for some people. People have gotten review copies of this game 30 days earlier, and they're unlocking things left and right, and they're showing pictures of it on Twitter and stuff. It's just the way things are, or the way things just are in this case. Yeah. So I guess at this point, my thought process is it's not hurting anybody. It's not a game that has an end. It's not a game that has points, unless you're in a fishing tournament. It's a game that you play your own way, and some people's own way is time traveling, and I think that's great. I think if they really wanted people not to do it, they would have conformed the game to the internet clock only.
Absolutely.
And they didn't.
And I think that would be a big mistake. And even the developers themselves, this is one of the tweets that gained some major traction. I think I retweeted it with my opinion where I don't have it open, so apologies to the original poster, but it was something like, reminder to everybody, time travel in Animal Crossing is absolutely not cheating. And they just got so many responses of people like aggressive, like actively attacking the poster. And then there were also people who, many friends of mine, in fact, who also retweeted it, and they just put their thoughts into it respectfully. Many of them saying, hey, you know what? Say what you want to say. It is cheating, but you know, play the game how you want to play. And there's a lot of that sentiment out there. I certainly respect all the people who I follow who almost across the board are not like actively attacking people who play the game with this approach. But one thing I do understand, and this was expressed by our mutual friend TJ Harris at TJ Power You Love It, and then also our friend at Captain Alex. Both of them said what really grinds their gears the most about time traveling is that it spoils certain aspects. And so I engaged a little bit in back and forth with them about it because I didn't understand. My perspective was, what do you mean spoilers? Like it's Animal Crossing. It's not like they spoiled any of the game mechanics because by that definition, Nintendo literally spoiled every single game mechanic when they did the Direct. They all the way to the terraforming. They told you pretty much every single thing that you can unlock in the entire game. There's no stone unturned, literally. With respect to what you can do in Animal Crossing. So I was failing to understand how it can be spoiled in any way. And they did enlighten me a little bit. And this is a fair point, where the Bunny Day event is this special event. And at the end of it, Zipper, the resident non-denominational Easter rabbit,
yeah,
will surprise you with a special gift. I myself do not know what the special gift is. I happen to not come across it online. And so some people advanced their clocks to April 12th, which is the final day where this big surprise thing would be revealed, provided that you met all the required criteria. And they posted what that surprise is. And that kind of took some of the excitement out of it for some players. And I understand that. But I would put it in the same category as people who saw a movie before you and decided to say, oh, yeah, by the way, Darth Vader is Luke Skywalker's father.
Yeah.
Boom. Or,
so
hey,
don't
guess
be
what
a jerk about it. Is what,
yeah,
you
so
say.
Just don't be a jerk. People could do the same thing with any game. So time traveling is not the problem. The problem is people coming into information before other parties and then being irresponsible with that information. So I think blaming time traveling is missing the point. Because you can't say, oh, somebody time traveled to the future and saw Star Wars before me and they ruined the ending. That, it's indicative of a bigger problem of people not being responsible with privileged information. Same thing with Smash Brothers leaks. That drives me nuts because I like to enjoy Nintendo Directs and Nintendo Reveals in their due time, according to Nintendo's schedule, because that's the most fun way to enjoy that. When that Smash splash screen comes up and it's revealing a new character, there are few gaming experiences that I personally consider to be more exciting. So when 2 or 3 days before somebody's like, guess what I just data mined, or guess what just slipped through the cracks?
Yeah.
That really does, you know, take some of the wind out of my sails, some of the steam out of my engine, and it kind of, it bugs me. So I sympathize with people who feel like time traveling is empowering players to have this privileged information ahead of time. But I think the bigger problem is, as you said, jerks.
Yeah, for sure. It's like any other game. I am staying very far away from the internet right now because, as you know, I've mentioned it many times, I am beyond excited for Final Fantasy VII Remake. I cannot wait. I took a day off of work just to play like an entire day of this game. But the game's out there. I mean, because of COVID-19, the game was shipped early. People have had it for over a week. There are spoilers. The ending of the game has been completely ruined. And I mean, I know it's a game that came out 20 plus years ago, but they've changed things. And they said there are some very big surprises in this game. And I have to stay off of pretty much anything that has a forum on it right now because I'm terrified I'm going to be spoiled. So it's very similar, where it's not anybody's fault that people got access to the game early. Those people just have to not be jerks about it.
Absolutely. And that kind of thing, I think, has become more of an increasing problem. And it doesn't just affect video games. It spans all media, really. Not so very long ago, one of the biggest shows in town was this little HBO series called Game of Thrones. And it was like,
we don't talk about that show.
If you were at all invested whatsoever, you kind of had to watch it live. Otherwise, there was just no going on the internet because people were so hell-bent on ruining the experience for other people. And I do think that that speaks to a problem of our culture with regard to online etiquette.
Yeah.
We want to get that buzz headline. We want to be able to grab eyeballs quickly. And oftentimes that leads to salacious types of clickbaity content. Or maybe in the most jerk way possible, you want to troll people.
Yeah.
And you know that you're ruining something. I feel like it's safe to say this now because enough time has passed. But one thing that I accidentally did to people completely unwittingly was back when the Star Wars series was first relaunched and Disney had first acquired it and J.J. Abrams helmed the first film in his trilogy.
Yeah.
The movie released in Los Angeles, California, basically shut down my town. I couldn't even find a parking spot for 3 whole days. And I was a a dad with very young children. So like seeing a movie was an impossibility. I absolutely did not see it. But what I did do was I made this little video called Smash Chess. I just did it for fun. It was on my birthday, this little fun project that I decided I wanted to do. And I put it on the Miiverse stage because the Miiverse stage resembles a checkerboard. Because I was connected to online, all these little comments would pop up in the back from people. I wasn't paying attention to them. I didn't even look at them. I was paying attention to what was happening on screen. So one of the comments that popped up in the back was, Han Solo dies. And I didn't know that it was there.
Yeah.
So I posted this video. It took me like 30 hours to make it. And I did it almost like from start to finish. Just a pure, I had this little idea. I thought it'd be super fun. I had just recently got excited by 8 Animal Crossing amiibo that I was able to find from the Toys R Us re-release. And I wanted to use them. So the first thing that happens when I launch this video is just people going on a tirade, upset with me for spoiling The Force Awakens. And I felt terrible. I felt so bad. But at the same time, I didn't want to pull down the video because there's some little thing that was going on in the background. So I tried to do the next best thing and put in the description, warning, if you have not seen Force Awakens, there may be a spoiler that appears somewhere in here that I can neither confirm nor deny because I haven't seen the movie.
Yeah.
So I didn't even know if the spoiler was true or if people were just being, you know, jerks. So
I love it. I think that's one of the greatest stories ever, by the way. I remember when that thing, when that first happened, and you were concerned. You were concerned about our audience, and I was just laughing about it. It's one of these things.
It is people, a little bit funny.
People are going to get upset about everything.
Because who thinks that they're going to watch some dumb me chess match where some lonely guy, I'm not really a lonely guy, but that was the perception people had because I played chess with myself on my birthday.
Yeah.
Which is not actually on my birthday. That was the day I released the video. But it's not the kind of place where you expect to have this historic cinematic event ruined for you. So people were really caught off guard because it was so out of context and it really caught me unawares. So I trying to circle back around to Animal Crossing, I can see how if you are particularly excited about this surprise reveal, that would bother you. But by and large, I think when I see other people with items that I didn't know were in the game, it excites me. I'm like, hey, I have the possibility of finding that. Or in many cases, you see somebody with the item, you're like, hey, can you craft that for me? Or can I buy that from you? And it creates this extended game community beyond just the game itself. So it kind of enhances the experience to be able to see what other people are doing and be inspired by other people's ideas. I look at Happily Candied Town and almost every item she has is something I don't have. I don't consider that a spoiler. I consider that inspirational. So it sparks ideas for me. I remember with New Leaf, I saw these two Oni masks that were apparently only available in the Japanese version of the game, but you could get through a trade with somebody who had them. And I went on a little quest to collect every mask in the game because my objective in that one was to create the ultimate Majora's Mask diorama. And so I collected every mask that there was. And when I saw those two, I knew I needed to have them because they were amazing. And so a friend of a friend, it was his goal to have a super Japanese-inspired town. And he had a bunch of these masks. So my friend made introductions, and I didn't even know this person from Adam.
Yeah.
And I got these masks from him. But I would have never known they existed had they not been, quote, spoiled for me by seeing them in another person's town.
It's a heated topic, for sure.
I'm surprised by that. I'm surprised how angry people are. To quote somebody who interacts with me frequently on Twitter, at K Smarties, he says, I genuinely don't understand why people are offended by how other people play a game. It's not remotely going to affect their game either, LOL. It's not like online Final Fantasy. So,
It's like I said before, it's not competitive at all. There's no points. There's no ending. There's no end game to Animal Crossing.
Right.
It is you. I mean, the whole point of the game is you play how you want to play. You live your own life. You could set up a dungeon. You could set up a beautiful town like Happily Candied's. I turned mine into a city. You could just have it weed infested. I mean, you can do anything you want in this game. There's no right or wrong way.
I'm just waiting for you to be able to unlock pitfalls so you can turn your island into a trap.
Very true. I need to get that very quick.
I was a little disappointed that pitfalls were not in the game, and then I learned online that you can find the DIY recipe.
Yeah, you gotta craft them.
I'm so excited for that.
I'll let you know as soon as I get it. I'll share that with you.
Oh, please. I wish that you could share DIY recipes with people.
If you have more than one of the same one, but I think that's the only way you can do it.
Yeah. I'm a little bit heartbroken by that because my kids and I all want to be able to make some of the same stuff. And so usually I have to be like, how badly do I want this? And of course, as the first resident, I allow
you
myself
get first
to
dibs.
Take, yeah, totally. But they'll occasionally like pop balloons and get stuff. And I'm like, oh, I really want that. But
they're
excited about it. So I'll let them have it.
That's a very nice dad thing to do.
I'm not always nice about it. Sometimes I'm like, drop that right now. Switch, make me the leader. But by and large, we have a ton of fun playing it together. And, you know, when you can play game, we play tag.
Yeah.
We run around trying to hit each other with nets. I don't know if when the developers are making this game, they're like, okay, there's a chance that a dad and his kids or a group of friends might come into this game and they might want to run around and smack each other with nets. So let's make sure that that's possible to do. But we do. We play net tag on a routine basis. And I think one of the beauties of the game is that they allow you so many different opportunities to find games within the game.
Somebody made a Pitfall Olympics.
They
terraformed a pit and they put pitfalls on every square. And then they put a giant bag of money on top of this big kind of section at the very end of this pitfall pit. And the first person to get their ladder to the very end gets the money. And it's pretty funny. I've watched people actually play this online.
Oh, that is so genius. That is unbelievably cool.
So I'll send that to you for sure. But the second I unlock pitfalls, I'm going to do stuff like that for sure.
Yes, I love it.
But I know we've talked about Animal Crossing now, I think, for the last three episodes. But I want to really quickly shift gears to LEGO. As of yesterday, we got some official confirmation about the new LEGO sets that are coming out for Mario. They're very different from anything that I expected to see from a LEGO/Nintendo crossover. These are more or less interactive LEGO dioramas than anything else. It's kind of like a game. But we have information on what you can expect when these things come out. First of all, they come out on, August 1st. There is multiple sets you can buy. The first set is the one that you need to get. It's $69.99. It includes Mario, you get Bowser Jr., and then it's kind of like this starter set, like obstacle course. Everything is like set up via Bluetooth. It's kind of like NFC, stuff like that. Everything's interactable and interchangeable. They also announced that there's going to be a bunch of expansions ranging from $30 for the cheap ones all the way up to $100 for this Bowser's Castle expansion set. I'm really curious your thoughts on this because I'm torn if I like this or not. It is expensive and it doesn't look Lego to me at all. It looks like a generic toy. And one of the reasons I love Lego so much is because it's distinct. I mean, it's the same kind of interchangeable building blocks. You can turn it pretty much into anything you want. It's kind of like Minecraft, the toy. And this is just very, very different. And I think $100 for this one expansion like set, it's not crazy in terms of Lego. Lego is known to have very expensive sets.
Yes.
I'm just not sure if I'm going to be able to drop $200 almost for the starter set and then this one.
Yeah, I am a little bit torn myself. My kids are very excited about it. So I'm sure that I'm going to put a pretty significant dent in my wallet over maybe an extended period of time because that is a lot to drop at once. But we have in my family like a birthday parade where it's just for 3 months straight, there's a whole bunch of birthdays. My kids are all – I've got one in November, one in December, one in January. And so I think maybe over that time span, which also straddles Christmas, we may try to get all those together. It gives us a little bit of time to save up for it. I think their excitement has me more excited, and I do think my kids happen to fall into the perfect age bracket that would be excited about this. I have 3 to 7. I know they're recommended for 6, but they actually look like they might skew even younger. They look kind of more, I know that they're Lego, but they look more like Duplo. Yeah, they look more like Duplo. I find them to be, I don't want to say unappealing visually, but very minimalist. And typically, Legos are very impressive in the way that they're put together. I remember I saved up for a long time when I was young, and I bought a $100 medieval castle. And this medieval castle was infinitely superior to this Bowser castle that I'm looking at. And I realized it didn't have any tech.
Yeah.
And that probably is some of the reason why we're looking at so many fewer pieces and so much less interesting visual presentation. But what kind of I find the least appealing about this is you have long sections that are just connected by one little flat piece.
Yeah.
And so instead of feeling like it has this cohesive continuity, you kind of feel like there's a whole bunch of disparate pieces that are just connected by one tiny little strip. Maybe playing the game itself might help me to understand why it was designed in this way.
Yeah.
But it seems like instead of building this impressive castle within these certain predetermined parameters or predetermined real estate, you can kind of build it however you want, although it looks like it favors some sort of linear path.
Yeah. Yeah, I completely agree. And it's, I want to love this. I really do. I've wanted Mario Lego for the longest time.
Yeah.
But at the same time, too, I think I've mentioned this before, my thought was like this gorgeous Princess Peach's castle. Like same. This just absolutely gorgeous castle. And this is very different than what I was expecting. But at the same time, too, I applaud Nintendo and Lego for going down a different path and taking something that is a video game character and making it more interactive than anything that Lego has done before, with the exception of the Lego video game series, Lego Dimensions, things like that. But I think the price tag on these are going to be kind of detrimental to me. I'm not sure if I'm going to go for it or not. I'm going to see, as time goes on, what these can do. They did announce that there's going to be this interactive app that connects to your Legos, that keeps like track of high scores, that lets you, it's kind of like Labo. If you've ever put together a Labo set, you had directions where you could kind of see 3D models of how to put together your Labo set. And they're doing the same thing for this, which is, I think, really, really cool. Lego has been very difficult to put together. And in most cases, if you've ever put together a big Lego set, you get a giant book that's like this thick with the instructions. And this is going to be a way to make that entire process easier and more interactive, in my opinion, more fun. So again, I applaud Lego and Nintendo for going a completely different route. But if I did buy this, I'd have to get the Bowser set. I'd have to buy the starter set. After tax, I'm at $200. So I don't know.
And that's not even to speak of some of the other sets, like the
Piranha Plant set. And then I think there was a website that leaked that there's going to be, I think, 10 or 15 different sets. It's going to get pretty crazy. But I really hope that this is a step one from Nintendo and Lego. I want to see this as a starting off point, and I want to see more traditional Nintendo sets from Lego come after this. I hope that this isn't it.
Yeah, I wonder to what extent their license allows them to do stuff like that, or if this is the deal. This is the specific arrangement where they don't really want the Nintendo pieces to play nice with the other Lego licenses. I wonder if that was part of the consideration, where even though all Legos are essentially compatible, these are separate in the sense that they have the interactivity with the Mario figure, whereas normal Lego pieces would not, and how that would impact the experience, where if you want to introduce Legos from other sets to sort of customize it to suit your own taste, if you wanted to have that beautiful Peach Castle and you happen to have the ingenuity and the pieces to be able to do it, would it in some way ruin the game because these pieces don't have that I guess, heightened interaction.
Yeah.
So I some of it still remains to be seen, and I do struggle to understand in which way the characters can play this game, because couldn't you just rig it so that you win the game every time?
I see it more as an interactive diorama. I don't see this as a game. I mean, you can choose to jump on the Goomba or not to jump on the Goomba.
Right.
You can choose to put Mario in the fire or not put him in the fire. I'm sure if you wanted to make a board game out of it, like you roll the dice, where does Mario land? Maybe. And maybe the app is going to have some kind of, I don't know, guidelines, instructions, recommendations on what you can do with that. But like I said, this is cool. It's neat to a certain degree. Is it for me? Probably not. But Nintendo has been putting their stamp on pretty much every kind of advertisement and every kind of product that you can imagine. Candy bars and popsicles and Underoos. I mean, I can't go to any store at this point and not see a Nintendo-themed item. So I'd be shocked if for some reason Nintendo was like, no, we don't want a Nintendo Lego set that's the same as other Lego sets. I think it's coming. I really do. And I'm hoping it comes right after this. That's all I guess I'm going to say on this piece. It's really neat. I mean, August 1st is going to come pretty quick. If I'm lucky, maybe Nintendo will throw me a bone and send one of these for review. But I'm curious to see how it's going to sell. I really am.
Me too. I'm curious.
So, TJ, before we close out this evening, I do end up having... I have a question for you. So last week you had an Amiibo question for me. I once again have a Legend of Zelda question for you.
I hope I'm equal to the task.
This might be easy for you. It might be very hard. I'm not sure. So back in the day, Nintendo had licensed out some of their video game properties to a little company called Philips, who was making a CDI. I think they created a game called Hotel Mario first, which was like this Mario-themed game, kind of like a puzzle game. And then they also had three Legend of Zelda titles on the CDI. Can you name all three?
I did. In the aftermath of Ocarina of Time, a game that I think inspired an entire generation of players, I was so hungry for more Zelda that I eBayed my way into a Philip Magnavox CDI, and through some very diligent eBay searches, I was able to acquire all three games.
You have all three?
I do own all three.
That's amazing.
That said, they are garbage. The bottom of the dumpster bin. I cannot think of a worse game that I've ever attempted to play, that I've ever put any meaningful effort into. And I would say they are 100% unplayable. Not only are they not fair, but the controller doesn't respond correctly. I just had to accept that this was not Zelda.
Yeah.
Although, even though I purchased them and I put a serious amount of effort into finding them, I don't know if I remember the names. I know one of them is Wand of Gamelon.
Correct.
And I know that the semi-live-action one, it might be something like Zelda's Adventure. Okay.
So that's two.
And then the other one, I can picture the box art in my head. Cave of Wonders. No, it's not
quite.
That. It's not
it is,
that.
It is Faces.
Faces of Evil.
That's right.
Yeah.
I'll give that to you. That's okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, that. So, have you ever played those? Have you had
the displeasure? Yes, I have. I've emulated them. I've owned one of the games. I was in a Zelda kick. I wanted to collect all three. So I bought Zelda's Adventure. No. It was Wand of Gamelon. That was one that I owned. And I ended up selling it. I'm not sure why, but I sold it.
Because you did not want your home to be cursed?
I think that could be it. Yeah. but yeah, I did play them. I emulated them, and they are hot garbage.
Yes, but you probably had a slightly better experience than me because I'm assuming if you emulated it, you were not subject to the Philips Magnavox.
No. Controller. I had a mouse and keyboard. Yeah, I was in that respect.
Unbelievable. And if anyone is out there, like, I cannot believe Nintendo in 2020 still does not have Link talking. I reference you back to these games. Find some footage. This is the best argument against Link ever talking. Forget about excuse me, princess. That's gold compared to these games.
It's good stuff, for sure.
the most rotten stuff possible. Thank you for the question, though, and for the little assist there. I don't know if I would have got it without that a little push in the right direction.
TJ, where can the good folks at home find you?
Check me out on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel. Lots of my stuff has the title Hero TJ. And if you want to find me on Twitter and, you know, debate me about some whether or not time travel is cheating in Animal Crossing, I love a good spirited debate. You can find me at Custom Conquest.
Rock and roll. And if you're looking for me, you can find me at my personal Twitter account at AmiiboJason. Otherwise, I'm at NintendoWire.com, and I do the occasional video on the Nintendo Wire YouTube channel as well. You can find me there. Any other closing words of wisdom?
I'm sure that I speak for Jason when I say we would appreciate some reviews. If you enjoy the show, share it with your friends, talk it up, because we want to expand this community as much as we can.
Sharing is caring. All right, man. Until next time, stay wired in.
Thanks for playing.